RadioInfluence.com.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Cass.
Frankie Cass. No,
that's stupid.
You know,
I'm going. This is dumb. I'm trying to make California references over here. I was going to go Mama Cass, and it just doesn't work.
You know, we're doing the Mamas and the Papas. We're doing this show, interestingly, in different time zones today. Frank is in California cajoling with all of the
musicians
and various treats available to him.
It's just whatever. As long as I get a decent amount of sleep in, I will say this. I'm very happy that I got it wrong all the departure times. We had to leave New York pretty early to try to get around whatever kind of delays would be there at JFK because of the downsizing of TSA. But I was under the impression that we had a departure time of 9 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday night, which would mean that we wouldn't be landing in New York until about 5 or 5:30. I got that wrong. So I'm very happy about that. Go ahead.
No. What time are you? Like, when
we'll probably get home around 1 a.m. instead of 5 a.m. So we're leaving at like 4:30 p.m. this time.
So that would be 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Right. So then it's just 5 hours from there.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
I actually booked a flight for the first time in goodness knows how long, and I'm starting to regret that I did it, to be honest. I'm going.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Mar-a-Lago next weekend. It's going to be interesting.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'll be doing our show from the hotel on Friday, and you'll be
there. Are you sure you're not going to be just doing colluding with another nation?
Well, you know, I mean, everybody's doing it nowadays.
Everybody's doing it, and everything is proof. And everything is proof of it, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could just take a look at, you know, my tweets and tell that I'm colluding with the Russians. My daughter is a Russian agent.
That's the biggest one. I mean, she even has the accent. How the hell did she get the accent?
She wasn't. I know. She's got the accent. She's got a placard in her room. The family is all in on it. It's pretty damning, if you ask me.
Yeah, she's just marinating in collusion.
She says she asked all of her friends. She groups them in a room. They vote for Trump, and then he wins. Simple as that. You know,
that's going to be the next phase of this. Where do you want to start? Because this is all this banter is actually pretty relevant to what's going on.
It is. It's definitely relevant. And, you know, hopefully we'll retain you today for as long as possible. I know you got a lot of stuff going on out there. So whenever you have to go, you go, and I'll just have to fly solo for the rest. But, you know, this morning we woke up to a Roger Stone arrest with like a group of people with weapons drawn arresting a 60 something year old man in his Fort Lauderdale mansion.
First of all, who tipped off the news media so that they were there with the FBI?
Do you want to know what I really think? And if this is wild speculation, I think it was Stone.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay. Hey, you know what? Whatever. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I mean, you know, CNN is there. That's the only way it would have worked, in my opinion. Because I don't think that there's any way that the special counsel is going to leak. We're going to Roger Stone's house to arrest him. I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. Call me crazy. And again, you know, I read this indictment straight through, and not for nothing, they kind of got him here. I mean, you know, I've kind of raised the red flag about Roger Stone for 2 years now. I'm doing a piece right now that I'm going to put out later on today. Going back to the first time that I started really kind of talking about this, which was, oh goodness, it was on November 11th, 2017 that I did my first video. Mm-hmm. So less than 2 years, but you know, he lied, and he's Stone. He's Roger Stone. I mean, all of these crimes are process crimes related to the investigation. So if the investigation never would have happened, there would never be a crime that Roger Stone was charged on.
Well, I mean, this is what we're looking at with the entire thing. I mean, you get the investigation launched. I mean, so they managed, first of all, to arrest another person who worked on the Trump campaign. Only this one stopped working with the campaign in 2015. And once again, it doesn't show the campaign worked with a foreign power to steal an election. And once again, it doesn't show that one vote was changed. And the only reason why, once again, that this looks suspicious is because we're being forced to see everything through the lens of the election was illegitimate. And the people who are able to create that premise are the ones who are also running the investigations.
I know, or
destroying the investigations, depending on whatever is going on. So never mind that what was in the DNC emails that were leaked actually reveal how one American election was stolen. Never mind how the dossier was funded and how actionable information was funneled into the country through unofficial means just to start this 2-year farce that has produced nothing but instances of, people in Washington seemingly know people who claim to have dirt on dirty people. That apparently is supposed to be enough for all this stuff. You know, it's frustrating to watch and read because for every, I don't know, two people who see right through the nonsense, I fear maybe there's five who believe, wow, maybe the wall's really closing in on Trump. I feel like trusting my own instincts isn't enough anymore because I don't know how the hell everybody else is thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, this all really stems back to Frank. And you know, it doesn't really matter if they think, maybe Trump, blah, 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 because at the end of the day, you know, there's nothing. There's nothing on Trump at all. Nothing, literally nothing. But, you know, at the end of the day, this all stems back to Guccifer 2. And I and you and everyone else has been talking about how Guccifer 2 was not a real thing. It was a created thing. And even CrowdStrike is mentioned in the indictment because they claimed that the DNC was hacked by the Russians. And I came across an article where they basically say in the article that they figured out that Guccifer was working at he's a Russian GRU agent because one time when he logged into Twitter, he forgot to change his IP address with the VPN and it pointed right to the GRU, and I'm like rolling my eyes at this completely. You know, there's forensic evidence that proves otherwise, and so the whole thing stems back to Guccifer 2 and whether or not this was a hack or not, and Russia being involved. And WikiLeaks can clear this up in literally 2 seconds.
This is what I'm talking about. This is why I keep coming back to it and telling people who have a feeling that something is wrong here, but there's just so many levels of details and so many rounds of nuance that we're going through. Like, you and I can sit here talking about why, what the nature of this arrest and this indictment of Roger Trump is all. Okay. Jeez. Oh, boy.
I wish I had sound effects for you right now.
It was only 5 milligrams. I swear to God. Okay. No.
Roger Stone.
But this is the thing. We can sit here and talking about the nuances and the realities of this arrest of Roger Stone. And we can spend an hour on that to try to show everybody, listen, this is the line you have to walk. This is how they're trying to tug you in this way and that way to screw with your perception, while the line of facts and evidence and timelines is really all that matters in this. And perception is what is being built up. And when you don't have evidence of anything, and it's clear of that after all this time, you need to be able to get down there into the dirt and be able to shift and form and mold perception. We can do that for an hour, but that is just a waste of an hour when, like you said, all of the key points of this that take it all apart, Guccifer, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, what was going on there, Bill Binney talking about the forensic evidence behind this supposed hack that couldn't have possibly been a hack from the distances they're saying it was hacked from, that it was a local job. There are so many things that have been overlooked, CrowdStrike overlooked, to keep America focused on suspicion and on nuance that will just do nothing but take up hours of news time. That's it.
This is true. Again, however, you know, I feel like at the same time as while you're absolutely right about everything you just said, it's important nuance because there are all these peripheral characters that play into the bigger story that I think people need to know about. Like, there was an interview the other day between Michael Caputo. They were all sitting next to one another. Sam Nunberg, the crazy. He's a little nutty. Jerome Corsi, you know, not Roger Stone, Michael Caputo and Carter Page, of all people, were sitting there together. And they were basically just chewing each other apart about who's lying about this and whether Roger Stone's trying to protect himself and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you guys.
Because it's illegal to protect yourself in America now, too. Don't you know?
Well, you know, honestly, not only that, but like none of the stuff that like I don't particularly have an opinion about any of these people. Like, I don't think they're good people. But I'm not, you know, that's not my job, is to tell you what I think about who people are. I'm just, you know, my job is to point out the connections and then let you guys make your own decisions. But none of the things that they've done are illegal. Like, even if Jerome Corsi spoke to Julian Assange on the phone, that's not illegal. Like, even if he knew in advance that WikiLeaks was going to drop information, that's not illegal either. So, like,
it's not illegal for an American real estate developer to look into prospective real estate plots in Russia.
Right.
But once again, comes down to perspective. And thank you for adding some context to the point I made about the basics instead of the new. It is important for the nuance, but I think that in understanding all the details, like you were saying there, and the people and the ancillary, the peripheral players involved, it also, in the end, just goes to highlight that, yeah, we're getting some answers out of this and we're being able to sift through the garbage. But at the same time, it is a project that has been put into our lap so that time can be wasted. Because if we were actually looking at baseline issues and asking real substantive questions, it would not have gone on for 2 years. We would have been on to other things. There would have been another scandal waiting to go into its place to create more confusion. But this one would have been dead a long time ago.
No, you're right. And, you know, instead of all this, what we could do is just tell each other jokes for an hour every Friday. I mean, I'm sure people would be happy to hear that at this point.
Yeah.
So, Sean Davis just came out with a thread, Frank, you know, talking to your favorite Mickey Mouse character from CNN, Brian Stelter.
Oh, oh boy. Mickey's son.
Mickey's son, Brian, in full, in all of his glory. Brian Stelter, I guess, is tweeted at Sean and said, you're revealing your ignorance about the news business again. This is how news gathering works. And this was in reference to a tweet that Sean Davis made. That said, are you ready? Nobody, yeah, not even CNN, believes that CNN sent a full camera crew to a single house in South Florida before dawn because it, quote, noticed unusual grand jury activity, which by law is secret in Washington, D.C. It was tipped by someone in law enforcement and everybody knows it. So Brian Stelter says, you're revealing your ignorance about how the news business again. This is how news gathering works.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
It's how news gathering. I'm trying to find something to. I can't get through to you. You know, news gathering happens when everybody gets together and paints their nails and thinks of all, you know, gossips.
That's it. It's a bunch of journalists or hack journalists, wish wannabe journalists, sitting around gossiping about all the things they wish were true about the world and finding ways to actually go out there and recreate what they hope reality is all about. And when it blows up in their face, they say, well, could you blame us? We just love our country and the truth so much that we're willing to go out there and destroy ourselves to get it.
Well, that's why they all got fired, because nobody's paying the subscriptions for these hacks anymore.
Yeah.
I got to read this thread, though. You're going to love this. You really are. It says, like that time you gathered up those emails from Donald Trump Jr. from, quote, multiple sources with a fabricated date. Or like that time you peddled lies from Lanny Davis, yet claimed that Lanny Davis didn't tell you anything. So much news gathering. He goes on. Or was it like the time you gathered up the news, which was so fake that even Mueller had to come out and say it was fake, that Trump told Cohen to lie to Congress about a non-deal that Trump Jr. already told Congress about? That kind of news gathering? He goes on. Or are you talking about the kind of news gathering in which James Clapper leaks to CNN and then lies about it, Brian Stelter? That kind of hard scrabble shoe leather news gathering? More. Maybe Brian Stelter is talking about the kind of stellar news gathering in which his own network falsely accused a bunch of kids for attacking a Vietnam veteran who never served in Vietnam. Tell me more about your amazing news operation. I'm not even mad at CNN. I'm impressed. Y'all finally got a leak that wasn't pure, uncut fake news. You should take a victory lap.
That's great.
Damn.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, but you know, it's funny because all these things that they go into a loop as well. You talk about all the things that they have committed themselves to, all the stories that they put themselves on the hot lead. They've got a hot lead, and they go and they try to search them all down, and then they just go into rotation because they run out of things to do. What the hell was Elizabeth Warren? Oh, Elizabeth Warren the other day, before I left, had made some kind of an appearance somewhere and brought up how disgraceful it was the way that we treated Puerto Rico during the time after Hurricane Maria. They're going back to Puerto Rico again. I mean, now everybody's taking their turn announcing their presidential candidacy. So, I mean, 2020 has already started, and it's just going to be – this is just going to be my God.
You know, the best thing, though, is that they don't have anything else left. Like, I mean, what are you going to possibly come out with to go after Trump? I mean, there's really nothing left.
There's nothing.
So he gets to run a re-election campaign in which they've already exhausted, using the entire intelligence community, every piece of dirt they could possibly have on this man.
They're pretty much everything that Robert Mueller, who I don't know how anybody can question what color hat he is.
Yeah.
He's wearing. But anybody, you know, everything that has come out of this debacle is just pretty much just going to be reincorporated into every debate rebuttal that we hear in 2020. That is what this is. You're going to go back to Trump Tower this. You're going to go back to Trump Tower in Moscow that. There's just so much, and it's all going to be brought up. Hurricane Maria, how it would have been done different, what you did wrong, shaming, taking opportunities to try to shame Trump on the debate stage and on the campaign trail. This has been a glorified information gathering, opposition research that was actually done in public. Usually you go and hire a Fusion GPS to say, hey, find me something that we can use and spin into a counter campaign, some kind of a counter initiative to neutralize campaign opposition. Well, this time their opposition research has been done on the public dime with the special counsel and the support of half of Congress and all of the media, pretty much. And it's been done in public view. So that when it all rolls out in 2020, it's going to seem like, oh, well, this is just, you know, whatever the hell it is. But it's all opposition research, and they're going to keep recycling this stuff.
Meanwhile, we get to dig into all these new characters, like the Kamala Harris's of the world. Did you happen to see, Frank, the piece I did on Cardi B?
Yes.
So they've chosen Cardi B. It appears she's the anointed one. She's showing up everywhere now. Cardi B, Cardi B, Cardi B. Everyone's dancing to Cardi B. And, you know, do they understand what they do? You think they understand what they're doing with her?
Tracy, they celebrated as if they scored a touchdown.
I know.
As if they won the Super Bowl when New York State passed third trimester abortions.
You know, I just did a whole video on this yesterday. I cried.
I saw the listing. I was. Did you hear my show on Wednesday?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear it.
I think Wednesday's show was all about about New York, because obviously it's my, you know, both of our home state. I did that. I did the history of Roe v. Wade. You should listen to at least the first hour of that one.
I will. You know, I've been crying every morning when I wake up about this. I don't understand. You know, I've researched some really crappy stuff in my day. And, you know, after a while, you kind of get numb to it and you just research it and you do what you can to get the story out there. But this particular thing has really just changed my entire week. It's been horrible.
I'll tell you this. I'm not a very religious person, although I was brought up Roman Catholic, and I had very religious and faithful grandparents, that I think that whatever kind of faith and moral compass I do have is because, you know, it just vicariously through them, because I respected them and loved them so much. And, you know, if it was good enough for them, how could it possibly not be good enough for me? They were such good people. And I think just through whatever kind of, I don't even know, it's not from a religious standpoint that this has really just shaken me to my core. And, you know, reading it and watching the reaction and all the man on the street stuff. And it's funny to me how the American Psychological Association, I think early last week or the week before, came out and listed the reasons why toxic masculinity, which is just pretty much masculinity, because they talk about competition and aggression and you know, being a rambunctious boy. And the other trait that they said was toxic to society was stoicism. And stoicism being, you know, being somebody that's going to repress or not allow their emotions to come out to the surface and really influence the way that they act, you know, to try to repress their emotions a little bit. There is nothing more stoic than looking into the eyes of some of these progressive women that say and will admit that after, you know, it is a human child, it is a human being, and they'll even give you a time. Like, so I saw somebody arbitrarily, because everybody has their own arbitrary date for what is life now, because that's the other good thing about being a woman these days. You get to decide when something is a life or not. That's the other thing that they do. And you see the stoicism in their face when they say, good, or when they say, it's my choice and it doesn't matter and this and that, and it's just fine. So to think about everything that they've told us is toxic in our society, and then to take away and destroy just the very maternal instincts of women and have them believe that what they're doing and the choices that they're making is not only within their power, but makes them powerful, is sad. And it makes me totally understand why at that point, idolizing a stripper who just happens to have a lot of social media reach is going to be the next thing that they all do. Because, of course, you know, whenever it was Kanye West going after George W. Bush in 2005, that was fine. But Kanye West is a loose cannon who needs to be told to slow his roll. But now he's a guy who goes out there. He didn't have to strip for a living. I don't like his music, perhaps, but he's definitely stirred the pot a little bit. And here's a woman who's got nothing to offer the world, and she is being applauded just because she has social media reach.
She can't even speak language.
Dolt. Everything that is happening before us is enough to explain why everything else around it happens. In New York and the abortion law has everything to do with the gathering around of the campfire that is Cardi B, you know, and trying to seek some kind of hope from the depths of the mind of Cardi B. It's all connected. Everything is connected.
I'll never forget. I was like watching back in the day a while ago, because I pay attention to the culture very closely, and I just don't talk about it very often because that's your job, right? But I was watching her on an Instagram live stream where she was basically like, oh, I forgot to take my plan B. Uh-oh. Like, you guys know where I can get some. Oh my, like live on Instagram, like freaking streaming to God knows how many kids. I saw a video float across my timeline the other day of a little girl about 2 singing the song. Maybe she was 4. Singing the song that I put the lyrics to on my video. I mean, the P word was coming out of this girl's mouth. Like, I'm like, we needed, when is it? Oh gosh, I feel like we're losing half of society and there's no redemption. Like, there's no saving these people.
No, there's not.
And what do we do? Like, how do we move past that? Like, what do we do?
I've been asking the same question a lot lately. And what it all comes down to for me, I know some people won't like it, but it's political divorce. I love the idea. I love the, you know, I have a lot of idealistic thoughts as well. I have a lot of fantasies that I you know, I play around with, and the way I would love to create the world in the image that I think is good. I see, I have all those same things too. It's just that I fool around with them in private. I don't turn them into political platforms and try to force the entire world to do it under the threat of being called a racist or something like that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I fantasize about is having this federal union of 50 individual republics all taking their responsibilities at home very seriously, to listen to their constituents, to create local policy that reflects the customs and the traditions and the desires and the lives, the very different lives of people on local levels. And they do that. And on a federal level, there's this very constrained group of people who are philosophically grounded in the right for all Americans, wherever they are in the country, to be able to apply their livelihoods based on their geographical location and their local history and whatever makes them unique in their own local way, and actually stands by that no matter what their political leanings are and how they would like to see the world recreated, pretty much to just enshrine the individual and have the American experiment really work out. The only reason why it hasn't worked out is because there have been people from the onset that have wanted to destroy it, and now not only want to melt the entire country into a solitary block that can be controlled, but the entire world into a solitary block. And that fantasy, I realize, is just not going to happen. And where it comes to me is, it's not that we have to melt ourselves together and try to get the control of this fire by making it. We need divorce. I mean, if there's two people or 50 people that are trying to have a relationship in some way, and it is getting like this, where one half just wants to be left alone, the other half wants everybody to go their way, and they need the other half to pay for it, even though they detest their very existence. The solution is not to give the half that wants to rob the other half all of the power. The solution is to, let's have a divorce settlement here. I am a fan of secession. I'm sitting in the middle of the state that every time I see a Calexit hashtag pop up on Twitter every couple of months talking about secession of California, I cheer it. I want them to secede. I want New York to, you know, New York and New England was actually where the first secession movements actually ever cropped up in this country. Secession is, it should not be something that we question. There's no reason why we would, that's what we need. We need,
why would they want to secede though in New York if they're getting all this cheese from the government, the federal government?
Because, well, I'm talking about New York in 1800. They really
understood
wanted to
that.
Succeed.
Understood.
But and the same thing with California in 2017, 16, 18, and now 19. Whenever somebody talks about Calexit, they're talking about it from a petulant teenager kind of a way, where they want to leave home, they have an allowance they want to keep, but they can't stand living under daddy's thumb. They want to leave home, so they threaten to run away until, I guess, daddy leaves home, and then they can return, and mommy somewhere can give them their allowance back, and now they can be part of the what is this? Everything is petulant. There's no principle behind anything. It is all immediate political satisfaction. And I just don't see anything that can really help all this except dissolving the political bands that bind us. Because, you know, I've talked about the restoration of the judicial branch as a way of really bringing federalism back into the scope. Well, now I'm even starting to reconsider that. And what I'm finding now is that I believe that even if Donald Trump for the next 2 to 6 years is able to pack the courts with all types of people who believe in the Constitution, it will not be a cure. It will just merely, once again, buy us time, because it is, demographically speaking, it is inevitable. Until progressives take control of government and they abuse us. They are going to abuse the country. Eventually it will. So it's not so it's not enough to stack the courts with people who are going to block those abuses for as long as they maintain their judgeships. It's a matter of changing the culture, and I don't know how we can do that.
You know what you're talking about at this point, right? We're talking about eventually another revolution, but not with ideas.
Well, maybe just a breakup. I mean, I don't want to have to talk about the actual fighting, because when it comes down to physical violence, the real question is, all right, well, who's going to be the first one to shoot? Because it's not a matter of, okay, this is the day that the revolution starts. It's a matter of whenever people who are always asking when the revolution is going to start, stop asking when the revolution is going to start, and actually pick up guns and commit to physically fighting their countrymen, which I think that people are going to be far more hesitant in doing.
I agree with you. I don't think they're going to jump up to do it, but you know, we can't even get a bunch of people to go protest something at this point. You know what I mean? I think that time is coming to an end. I think you're going to start to see a lot more on the streets sort of activism a la yellow vests and, you know, in the United States. Just because we're not the minority, Frank. We're not the minority. We're not. They make us feel like we are, but we're not. And we're gonna have to do something. You know, yeah, it's multifaceted. We have to take back the schools, you know, education. We have to start instilling the values again into society that we want to see for our country. There's a lot of things we need to do, but somebody needs to start doing it.
Well, yeah, because the contract has been broken. The contract has been broken by many. So I would love to see states being expelled. That would be great. You know, there's so many things that I would love to do.
What's crazy about this, and then I know you got to go, so I'll let you go. But what's crazy about this to me is that New York State passed this law to circumvent any Supreme Court ruling changing Roe versus Wade or you know, overturning it, right? So they champion states' rights to inflict murder on innocent people, but they care nothing about the Constitution when it doesn't suit them. Like, you can't get more hypocritical than that.
Absolutely. What did I say? What did I just say before? Their allegiance to the Constitution is a petulant one at best. You know, they will talk about the right to maybe secede or whatever when they just want to be able to wait it out until somebody comes back in that they approve of, which I don't understand. If you want to secede, you mean you can be independent. Why would you ever want to then give your independence up? I mean, it all comes down to money. And in New York, it's so sick. So, yeah, Roe v. Wade should not be a thing. And it should be struck down. And as we all can see, anybody who says this is about a woman's right to reproductive health, which, please, if you're out there, it's the last show I did for the week. It's Wednesday night show, quite frankly. It's called History for All the Wrong Reasons. Mm. You should check that out. It is history, but it's for all the wrong reasons. And Tracy, it's what it really just comes down to is, can anybody say now with a straight face that if Roe v. Wade was overturned in some way and we were able to rip that out of our country's, I don't know, judicial, whatever the hell you want to call it, the system there, can you tell me that there would be any lack of access to abortion, that there wouldn't be most of the union passing their own abortion laws? You would be able to take a weekend trip to New York, have all the abortions you want.
Yeah, have them pay for it too, because you don't have to worry about that in New York City.
Yeah. I mean, what was it at the time of, I think at the time of Roe v. Wade, how many states had abortion bans?
I don't know about the bans, but I know New York had abortion laws on the books before Roe versus Wade was passed, was decided.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Gay marriage. When gay marriage was being decided in an unconstitutional way by the Supreme Court, there was only 13 states left in the union that hadn't legalized it themselves. I mean, it's beyond me how they're willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and for what reason? So that you can give gay people the permission to then ask the government permission to get married, when it's, I mean, if anybody really cared about rights of individuals, especially in gay marriage or whatever the hell else has been turned into a wedge issue over the years, you would be talking about amending the Constitution to keep government out of things like that. No, they want to be able to make sure that they have their hands on whatever has control of things. It's not really about liberalism and letting people live their lives.
I know. Today, or yesterday, I'm sorry, early voting in New York State. Okay, that was signed into law. They had attempted for years to do this. It was blocked by Republicans. We know why they're doing this, right? It's
yeah, because they're gonna start ballot harvesting in New York City so that they can add probably tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, more votes to the popular vote that is definitely going to be out of sync with the Electoral College for a second presidential election in a row.
Same thing that they're doing here. They're starting to enable, well, they're going to vote on this for 16-year-olds to register to vote on their learner's permit application. So they're brainwashing New York students and then saying, vote for us. We'll give you free things. New York is, Frank, take your family, get the hell out of that state before it's too late. I'm warning you.
It's just too much
Frank,
family.
It's bad. You.
Oh, I know.
I mean, you really, really seriously need to start considering it and talk. I know some of your family kind of lines up with the policy and stuff. You have some Democrats and, you know, people who, I get it. But if you want to start a family, you need to start thinking about it. And I'm not trying to lecture you, but seriously, nothing that's happening right here is looking good.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to survive. You're going to end up on entitlements.
I agree. Well, I wouldn't. I just let me, you know, my Obamacare just expired on December 1st.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
Oh.
I have actually, this is a great learning, teaching or learning moment for everybody. You want to talk about paradigm shifts, especially with healthcare. And healthcare is not going to turn around until people on the inside of the industry turn around, just like with science. You know, everybody's got to learn some understanding. You get some understanding of how a marketplace works. Like, there's no reason why the federal government should be funding arts and science. There's more than enough money out there, philanthropists out there, people who are looking to put exuberant amounts of cash into something that they can leave a legacy on. And it would actually fund independent research and science and real breakthrough instead of things that are going to go out there and try to prove what some kind of a political narrative can, you know, something that's advantageous to the political class. Now, as far as healthcare goes, Lauren and I, we actually met a great doctor. She and her husband started a practice and a private practice in New York, and it does not take any kind of insurance. It's $100 a month for each of us. So $200 a month, $2,400 for the entire year. We have access to her in the office. I got my first physical in 3 years, blood work, everything. We have her cell phone number. You know, it's really fantastic. So obviously there's always emergency room, but you know, when my healthcare coverage lapsed in December 1st, which was the coverage that I was given after my private coverage was canceled when the ACA was passed. I let it go. I said, to hell with it. You know, I just let it go. So I have no coverage in a traditional sense. But then again, I do have coverage. I have a doctor I can call on the phone at any point during the day. And it's because they were able to see what was lacking in medicine. And it was the access, it was the direct relationship between doctors and their patients, and it was the willingness to go out there and put yourself in a position where you can actually show and bring some change to the table. So that's that goes right back around to every conversation we ever had about culture. That would be a cultural shift right there to say, you know what, you go ahead, you can shut down the government, shut down whatever you want. You can put 800,000 people out of work that were just sitting around and regulating things that we should have been doing on a state and local level anyway. And we can do things on our own. You know, what was going on? We have to go to the airport hours early on Sunday morning, hours and hours early, just because we want to make sure that we are there to get through all the lines that I'm sure are going to be building up because the TSA is limited. Well, you know what? Almost the entire history of manned flight took place before the TSA was born.
I know. And people are, it's so scary without the TSA there to strip search us and put us through machines.
We're like, completely incapacitated. The entire history of manned flight happened before the TSA was born. What are they good for?
It's true. It's crazy, too, because like Dan Bongino said on his podcast, and Brendan Dilley said it before Dan Bongino did, you know, not for nothing, but Dilley's got some people who have told him some things that have come to be way more frequently than not. So he says that the left is basically engineering some kind of a catastrophe to make Trump look bad and be able to pin the catastrophe on Trump. And I'm like, oh, never let a good catastrophe go to waste, right? I mean, it's pretty gross. It's pretty gross.
The migrant horde at the border, that was another one. I mean, if it weren't for the fact that reality is so on the other side, they're so detached from the reality of things. If they weren't at war with reality, that might have worked out differently. Like if the reality of that this was a migrant horde that came up from Honduras and it was mostly women and children were up there and we're throwing smoke bombs at them, that might have really hurt Donald Trump politically. But reality is not in line with progressives. It was a horde of mostly military-aged males who were using the small amount of women and children that were there as human shields from the smoke. I mean, you see, this is what I'm talking about. So they try to put us in a position where catastrophe can strike. But then even in that respect, it's hard to hide the truth these days. And that's what I'm most grateful about, because if we didn't have the mechanisms that you and I and everybody else are able to take advantage of to talk and communicate and share information, we might be living in a post-apocalyptic society right now. Who knows?
Listen, if it wasn't for us, I don't think that this would have happened. I don't think that more than 1,000 media jobs would have been lost in one solitary day yesterday, with most of the people who are in that position going to Twitter to say, hey, do you guys need an expert on gender studies to work in your newsroom?
Yeah.
I'm a really good reporter when it comes to political gender fluidity. Can you help me? Literally.
Yeah, the marketplace is responding as it always does.
Yep.
When you put a good idea and a bad idea in front of them, people who you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You have to just use your God-given human intuition. And usually you're able to, without any kind of influence, and I know influence is a big thing these days, but without any kind of influence, your gut will kind of tell you what is a good common sense idea and what just doesn't smell right. The last thing I'll say, especially about influence, is, you know, there's all bunch of nonsense headlines out there, but last night we went out to dinner at some restaurant, and I overheard dinner.
Okay,
it wasn't munchy dinner. No, I get, and let me just tell you something. I did buy myself just a little something in case I got hungry here at the hotel room, and it is a very responsible dark chocolate bark kind of a thing with coconut and almonds in it. Very good stuff. The darker the chocolate, the better for you.
It really is good for you. Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Sorry, so you went out to bitter, dinner. Yeah, so we're out to dinner, and I'm sitting there, and I heard this. I overheard some mom. She was there with two kids in a booth. They are both middle-aged kids. They're both middle school-aged kids. I think one of them was hers, and the other was probably just like a friend. And either way, so she was acting in some kind of a guardian or babysitter capacity. And she's grilling at one point these two children about nationalism, being greedy, I'm looking at her facial expressions, how when she mentions nationalism, there's kind of like a cringe there, like, oh my God, how could anybody ever consider something like that? It's greedy. But people complain about socialism, which is about sharing and blah, blah. And I bit my tongue because I did not know this could be a parent. It's not my job to parent anybody's kids. And one interaction, confrontation with somebody in a restaurant for 5 minutes is not going to save this child from what they have been steeped in their entire lives. So I bit my tongue, and it made me just see how so many children just never had a chance. Even the ones who were born never had a chance most of the time, and the worst part of her pandering was the way she was using curse. Now I curse. But the way
you do,
I know I use bad language, but the way she was using it with these children was in such a disgusting way, even for somebody with such a foul mouth like me, because the way she was using it casually, as if you would with peers your own age. So she left the kids like no choices in this kind of this conversation. It looked like a conversation, but it was just her talking to them. And it almost looked like she was venting to them, like they were priests and she was in a confession booth. And she was just telling them the hard facts about the world. And I'm not sure that the children, you guys understand, right? You're my friends. It's not that you're 30 years younger than me. You're my friends. And we're just talking about the truth of the world. So she left them in a very manipulative way. No choices, no time to think, or no time to ask questions. And she, by treating them like trusted peers instead of these impressionable minds onto which she was trying to upload her belief system. And this is exactly how it was so sick to watch. And I just know those are going to be the kids that lead pink pussy hat marches one day. That's how it all starts.
I told you that you would go there and you would have something happen like that. I told
every
you.
Every time.
I knew it.
Every time.
I knew
I've
it.
Been coming here once a year for the last 4 years. And I always see something, whether it be the sprawling and ever-expanding trash cities that the homeless live in, or I don't know. I just I try to keep a really straight face and make jokes. I try to keep people laughing so that we never have time to talk about anything else. Because I don't want to hear what people actually think about anything over here.
What is the rest of your, like, what is this? Is it fun what you're doing at least? Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I have to go rinse off real quick, go on downstairs, eat a little breakfast. And then we're going to go to, NAMM. It's a exclusive music trade show. So it's like tens of thousands of people within the music industry. It's not like one of those conventions where you can buy a pass. We got passes because Anthony, my brother, is sponsored by Ernie Ball, and my bassist Derek is sponsored by Warwick Basses.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you guys are famous.
Anthony's got almost 3 million subscribers.
Oh, so. I know. When I showed Viv that, she was like blown away.
Yeah, when I like last year when we went to NAMM, I must have stopped to take pictures of Anthony with fans, over a dozen times. I love it. I think it's great. And there's a lot of awesome technology in there, Tracy. And there's great drums. I get to go look at all the drumming stuff. And but there's also microphones, so that's pretty cool on a podcasting level. And so I'm going to have a lot of fun. We're out here for fun. But, you just got to – you just got to know where it's murky waters. You don't know who's a friend and who's a foe. And you try to keep conversation light.
Yeah, no, you don't know what's going to happen. Well, I'll let you run, Frank. I mean, we've only got about 13 minutes left, and I'll take the 13 minutes on my – I'll take one for the team.
I'm happy. I'm happy we got to do this because, I can't – I'm very uncomfortable about pausing my own personal workflow for any reason. So I'm so happy that – you insisted on me coming on because it got me to feel productive.
Well, no, I'm glad you did. It's not really called the Dark to Light podcast with Frank and Beans, so that Beans can do it on her own. Oh, by the way, real quick before you go, I'm doing this contest for a local Legion Hall. They have like a version of Chopped.
Okay.
It's fun. Like you do the show Chopped where you cook and you're given these weird random ingredients. You got to put it together and whatever. And so we have a team. My dad asked me to be his sous chef. And it's Frank and Beans because.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Because it's a good Italian name, right, Frank? Right?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Are you gonna? You going to? You actually going to cook any sausage? You should. You should just go on in. That's the thing about last night. I ordered beans with my burrito, and the black beans were just so good.
You thought of me, didn't you?
I did. I was like, you know, these black beans remind me of Tracy. I said, I didn't finish them because I think I got my dosage wrong last night, and I just started. I said, you know what? I
don't know. I don't do things like that. I don't do things like that. So I don't know. Like, how do you recover from that kind of an experience? Like, I wouldn't even know how to begin.
Like a small gummy, something like that. It was nothing. Seriously, I didn't come out here to level myself. But, you know, when you say when in Rome, I mean, it is such a casual thing. And if people at the table want to, you know, sit there and swill wine for an hour and polish off an entire bottle by themselves, why can't I chew on a gummy that's going to keep me warm and fuzzy for an hour and a half, you know?
Yeah, well, you never know, like, what the hell it's going to do to you.
Well, now that there's a little bit less reason for, well, I mean, there's never going to not be a black market when progressives are in control of legalization of anything. Now, just because a progressive legalizes something doesn't mean that there's not going to be a need for a black market, because they're going to regulate and tax the hell out of it, that it actually keeps the black market still intact. But, you know, for the most part, if you're willing to go out and spend the money at a gourmet brand place, it really is just, it's whatever your preference is. I mean, if you like champagne, I like a tiny little gummy bear. That's it.
Well, have a great day, Frank.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm going to have a good one. You have a good one. I'm sure we'll talk in a little bit, and I'll keep you apprised of all the fun stuff out here.
Perfect. Can't wait for you to get back.
All right, everybody. Have a good one.
Talk to you soon, Frank.
Bye.
So, Beans takes over for the next, 12 minutes. I love doing the show with Frank. It is really awesome. It's been fun, and I'm glad we do it. And, you know, we've been talking about adding some stuff and, you know, all that noise, and that's going to be coming soon. I have a lot of cool stuff coming up ahead. And, you know, this kind of was like a downer, the show. I hate when that happens. I really hate it. But you know what? There are a lot of really crazy important things going on in our country right now and in the world. And sometimes you get us raw, you know? You just get us raw. And that's what today was. And I don't know what else to say about that. I'm not used to doing this by myself, guys. Hang in there. So I figured what I would do in this time that we've got left is kind of give you guys a foreshadow into this, you know, some of the stuff that I'm working on. Yesterday, this MSNBC interview came out. It was Carter Page, Roger Stone, Sam Nunberg, and not Roger Stone, Carter Page, Sam Nunberg, Michael Caputo, and Jerome Corsi on MSNBC. So this is credit to MSNBC. Let's listen to it real quick.
You now publicly are saying you won't stand for the way Roger Stone is treating you. We can put up the tweet, but basically you allege that Roger Stone and InfoWars are being untruthful about you. Why?
And defamatory.
Defamatory. Big charge.
I mean, they're both, you know, on this whole idea that I had hush money. This started really with Washington Post, I guess, last Friday, circulating, saying, coming from the Mueller prosecutors, that I was being paid hush money by Dr. Jones, the father of Alex Jones. The termination letter is available. I published it this morning. It was severance pay. It was not hush money. They're also alleging, Washington Post was saying that I was being paid by the NRA, which is paid by Russia, and that contributed to InfoWars. Well, my paychecks had nothing to do with Russia. I've had no contacts with Russia.
But you're here saying Roger Stone should cut it out, and you're saying he's defaming you.
He's not saying any of that.
Here goes Caputo.
That's not Roger saying any of that.
Well, I'm saying that Roger in his broadcast has been defamatory. inflammatory, and I want it stopped.
Like, well, I think Roger says the same thing about you. I mean, I've known Roger 30 years, Dr. Corsi, and I'm not buying this George Washington Act of yours on this. A lot of the things you say about Roger, I think, are steering him towards a perjury charge. I also think that it's really hurting his reputation, and I really believe that the things you said about WikiLeaks don't add up. The things you say about Roger's asking you for a memo to back up a tweet, none of this adds up. And I think Roger's got all the proof,
Mike,
emails, texts, metadata to prove it. And eventually it'll be
Sam Nunberg.
That's fine. The fact of the matter is, the reason us three are essentially in there is because of Stone.
I get that, but I don't, Roger. Let Sam finish.
Number two, Roger's not Donald Trump. Okay, he's not going to get away with witness tampering. He should shut up.
I got to be honest, this entire interview is crazy, and I'm going to link it into the show notes so that you guys can listen to it. This is three, quote, former allies, whatever you want to call them, of Roger Stone sitting amongst each other, basically bickering on MSNBC about Roger Stone's role in implicating them inside of the Mueller probe. And again, as Frank and I talked about at the beginning of the show, none of the charges levied against Roger Stone have anything to do with anything other than the investigation itself. So they're process crimes that wouldn't exist without the investigation in the first place. What does that mean? It means that Mueller is just going... Listen. Stay tuned to my YouTube channel over the next couple of days. That's all I'll say. Because I'm going to be covering this stuff in depth. And I'm going to start today. One of the videos actually might be out before this podcast. And you're going to start to notice a little bit of a merge between the podcast and YouTube a little bit more. You know what? We're just going to end it for there for now. But if you want to hear more about this interview and commentary on this interview, make sure you tune in. Check out my YouTube channel, Tracy Beans. And we're going to get to it. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Dark to Light podcast with Missing Frank and Beans. You can find us on Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. Don't miss us next week, guys. We'll be back.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.